Oh, let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 3. Exodus, chapter number 3. Am I supposed to be done by 12 o'clock?
Done.
Well, I don't think it'll be 12. I'll hurry, though. Exodus, chapter number 4. I said 3, didn't I? Exodus 4. When you get to Exodus, chapter number 4, we know that Israel has been in Egypt in bondage. They've been there for some 400 years. And we know Moses has fled to the backside of the desert in the land of Midian. And he is now a shepherd there. And he has been there for some 40 years. He's 80 years old. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years on the backside of the desert. And then God appears to him in chapter number 3 in a burning bush and calls Moses to be a deliverer, to go down and to bring the nation of Israel out of that Egyptian bondage. And Moses, he must have been a Baptist. He was offering up reasons and excuses why he couldn't go. So in chapter number 4, we find the Lord beginning to reason with him about that. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. And I don't blame Moses for doing that. There are three kinds of snakes I don't like. Dead ones, live ones, and rubber ones. I don't like snakes. So I don't blame Moses for running from it. Verse 4, And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And God would have to tell, he'd have to be the one to tell me to do that. But he said, Put forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. So this rod was going to become a symbol of the fact that God had truly called and commissioned Moses and that God was going to be with him. The rod was nothing more than a piece of wood, a small sapling that had been cut for the purpose of making this shepherd's rod. And it's in our text, you see in verse number 2, when God asked him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. If you go over to verse number 17, the Lord refers to it in verse 17, And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. But when you look down in verse number 20, And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. So a rod then becomes this rod, and now it is the rod of God. My text is found in verse number 2, when the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. So I'm preaching today on what is in your hand.
Amen.
What is in your hand? And I know this is not a new subject to you probably, but it's what the Lord's put in my heart. And I want you to follow me, and I'm going to try to pull two things together as brief as I can. We know that in my little book, if you have it, I hope you'll read it. If you don't have it, I encourage you to get it on spiritual gifts. But Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If you are saved, I believe that God has given you a spiritual gift. If you're saved, you have a spiritual gift. That gift could be I don't want to use the word as simple, but that gift could be as simple as the gift of helps. You may not have the gift in ministry like preaching or an evangelist. You may not have the gift to teach. And there's many other gifts that are mentioned. And sometimes people just have to identify themselves in 1 Corinthians 12 where it talks about the gift of helps. They're just willing to help, willing to do something. But if you're saved, you have something in your hand. And so I want to illustrate that New Testament principle of God giving everyone a gift. I want to illustrate that with a few Bible characters that had something in their hand. And again, I'll be as brief as I can. Moses had a rod in his hand. And this rod, now this is very important, this rod was nothing more than a tool of his occupation. It was a shepherd's rod. It was the rod that was used to lead with and not to fight with. And so Moses, who had been trained in Egypt for the first 40 years of his life, has now been taken to the backside of the desert and he has become a shepherd. It's almost like that God had to unlearn him, if I could use that word that ain't a word, that God had to unlearn him of things in Egypt in preparation for him to be the leader that God wanted him to be. And so for 40 years, Moses became a shepherd. And it was during that time period of his life, I believe that God taught him principle through his occupation, through his job. God taught him principle that God would use as he was going to use him be a shepherd for God. And I jotted it down like this. In Egypt, Moses learned to be a somebody. But in Midian, Moses learned to be a nobody. He was on the backside of the desert. And so it takes more than strength. It takes more strength. Now listen carefully. It takes more strength to be patient than it does to act. When Moses left Egypt, he killed an Egyptian that was afflicting an Israelite. Moses wanted to be that deliverer, but he wanted to do it his way. So in 40 years in the backside of the desert, God taught Moses the principle of patience and waiting on God. And just because you want to do something may not necessarily mean that it's God's timetable for that. And so Moses then waited until God spoke to him and called him. But this time Moses was not to use a sword to deliver the Egyptians out of Egypt or the Israelites out of Egypt. But Moses was going to use this rod of his occupation. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm trying to say right here. This, whatever's in your hand, it can be your spiritual gift, but it also may be an occupation. It may be a skill that you have acquired. It may be opportunities that God puts in your path that is unique to you and the person that you may be able to witness to. It may be privileges. It may be talents. It may be monies. It may be services. When I pastored, and this was back in about 2006, the church that I pastored, we had a pretty good sized building, but we outgrew it. It would seat about 200 people packed. And so we were outgrowing it. And so we went into a remodeling and a building phase. And so we took out the backside of the church where the baptistry was. We had a platform with choir chairs and a baptistry. And so we took that out and went that away. Our church was sitting on a basement, so we couldn't go sideways. So, and the church had a flat ceiling. So we took the ceiling joist out. We put in rafters, vaulted the ceiling, and the auditorium would seat 350 people when we got done with it. But this is what I'm saying. When we started the project, we decided that we were not going to contract it out, that we were going to do it ourselves. In our auditorium, in our congregation, we had a man that was just a master carpenter, and so he was going to oversee the project. We did hire some fellas to come in and frame the new part up, but we still was overseeing it. And then we had two different electrical contractors in the congregation. So one of them said that they would do the electrical work. We had a heating and air contractor in the congregation. And so he said that he would do, of course they couldn't do it free, but they did it at a discounted price. And he said that he could do the heating and air for us. Now I know I don't look like it. Y'all probably think I've never done a hard day's work in my life. But I used to be a brick mason. Amen. I know what hard work's all about. And so I told him, I started in full time in the ministry when I turned 35. So through my 20s and early 30s, I did masonry work, and I still did some side jobs throughout all these years. I try to get out of it, but I enjoy doing it every now and then. But anyway, I told him, I said, you know, I'll do it. I'll lay the brick. We're talking about 30,000 brick on that addition. So we added on. But here's what I'm saying. The different people, we had a painter in the church. And so all these different people came forward and said, we can take care of this, and we can take care of this, and we can take care of this. And even though it cost us, I think, $350,000 for that addition, we probably saved about that much money as well in doing it ourselves. And so in the natural world, we see that different tools are in different hands. And in the size of this congregation today, among you men and women, there's all types of occupations and skills that are represented here. Well, just imagine the body of Christ. The work of God is exactly the same way. It takes different people with different things in their hands. On a construction job, when I used to do masonry work, and we did a lot of commercial work, well, there may be carpenters, and he'd have his tool belt, and he'd have tools that were adequate for what he was going to do. As a brick mason or block mason, we carried a tool bag, and in that bag we had the trowel and the brick hammer and the joiners and the line blocks and the line and all the bolt cutters, you know, the wire cutters. Well, when the plumber come on the job, he had tools that were appropriate for his job. The electrician, the belt that he wore and the tools he had, they were appropriate for that job. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible likens the body of Christ, the church, to the natural body. And Paul uses those illustrations about the eye or the hand, you know, the foot. Wouldn't we look funny if we were just one big hand walking around, you know? But we're not. And you've heard it said, we've got two ears and one mouth. We ought to hear twice as much as we say. And so every part of our body, 1 Corinthians 12, when it comes to spiritual gifts, every part of our body has a function. And when you got saved, this is so wonderful. If you are saved, and I hope you are, but when God saved you, at that moment, He placed you in the body of Christ exactly where He wanted you to be. I was saved at 17 and then began to realize, you know, that God was calling me to the ministry to preach the gospel. But when God put me in the body, He put me in as a preacher before I ever realized that was my calling. And so God put you in. You may be an ear, an eye. You may be a hand. Now watch what I'm saying. My whole body is clothed with an exception of my head and my hands. And so there's so much of the body of Christ that maybe is not visible. The pastor, the singers, the musicians, people like that may be the part that's uncovered. In other words, we may be in the light all the time, and y'all may see us. But if you're saved, you may not sing, you may not preach, you may not be a teacher, you may not play the musician, or you're not a musician. But I want you to understand that you are just as important in the body of Christ as anybody else is. And you need to realize that God has put something in your hand that is special to His work and to His calling. And so Moses was going to use, now listen, it was a tool of his occupation. Moses was a shepherd. And so this rod that was in Moses' hand, it becomes an instrument to the glory of God. And somehow or another, we have it in our minds that I'm going to have to isolate myself from my occupation. I'm going to isolate myself from my hobbies. In other words, we feel like we have to pull aside from all of that to be the servant of God. What I want you to get a hold of this morning, that it is our entire life where God gets service from us in. Amen. It's not just here in the church, but it's on your job. Amen. It's with the tool of your occupation, whatever you're doing. That's where you're to be a witness. That's where you're to serve God. I want you to turn with me to Judges chapter number 15. I really prayed about this morning. I hope you know that. And this is a very simple message. Matter of fact, it's so simple that I questioned, Lord, is this really what you want me to do? And I just couldn't get away from this. So, and this is the first time I preached this message this whole year. So it's not like I'm running at every meeting I go in. Amen. But this is for us today. Look in Judges chapter number 15. Again, I don't have time to go to the whole story, but Samson has been really giving the Philistines a hard time. So the Philistines, they come up against Judah in verse number 9, and they ask, why have you come up? And they said, we want Samson. So 3,000 of the men of Judah, they go to where Samson is at, and they don't want to have to fight the Philistines to defend Samson. So they go to Samson and they tell him, we have come in verse 12 to bind thee and deliver thee to the Philistines. Well, Samson makes an agreement with them. He says, if you promise not to kill me, I'll let you bind me and take me to the Philistines. They said, okay. Look in verse 14. And when he was come unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loose from off his hands, and he found, now watch, Samson, what have you got in your hand? And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. So Moses had a tool that was, it was a rod. It was part of his occupation that he served God with. Samson has a jawbone, and the point that I'm after here is that it became a weapon of circumstance. If Samson knew maybe that he was going to have to fight them earlier, he might have wanted a spear or a sword or been like David and got a sling. But have you ever been put in the situation, in a circumstance, to where God is calling on you to witness to somebody? You don't have your Bible with you. You don't have a New Testament in your pocket. You don't have a track in your pocket. What are you going to do? You're going to use what you got. Amen. You're going to go to that memory of the Scriptures of the Word of God. And so there's so many times in our Christian lives that what we've got in our hand, it simply may be a tool or a weapon of the circumstance that we're in. Listen, nothing happens just by happenstance, but God sovereignly lets us get into situations and into places, friend, to where He wants us to be a witness for Him and to shine for Him. And it's in those places that we have to use whatever is at our disposal, the circumstance that we're in. This jawbone was not attractive. It was not costly. If somebody made a movie about it in these days, they'd have Samson with a special sword that some special wizard, anointed or whatever like that. You know how everything is done. But that's not what happened. Samson found himself out there with the Philistines against him, and he was just looking around for something to get his hands on. And lo and behold, a donkey had died there, no doubt. And Samson got the jawbone. Amen. Looks like a real thick boomerang. Samson took that jawbone and killed 1,000 Philistines with it. And all the time, here's what we do. Here's how we do it. We'll tell God, God, if this was better in my life, I could serve you. God, if this was better in my life. In other words, if I had a sword, I could really be a witness for you. If I had a spear, I could really be a witness for you. If the odds were more even, I could really be a witness for you. Or Lord, let me say it a different way. Lord, if I had more money in my budget, I could be a better witness for you. Lord, if my health was better, I could be a better witness for you. Lord, if I had more knowledge and more education. In other words, we keep thinking about what the circumstance, if it was more favorable, if it was better than what it is. I'm telling you that God wants you to pick up whatever you can in the circumstance that you're in and serve God right there. Amen? Just right there. Use what you've got. You could say, well, the church needs to be bigger. We need more people. Our treasury. Hey, friend, it doesn't matter if there ain't but two or three. We still can use the circumstance that God's put us in. Amen. Matter of fact, the fight was in Samson and not in the jawbone. Think on that a little bit. It was the Spirit of the Lord that came mightily upon. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We're moving good here. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. What's in your hand today? And I know some of you are thinking right now, well, how does this apply to me? 1 Samuel chapter number 17. This is the story of David and Goliath. I don't even have to go into the story. We all know it. But look what happens. We know that Saul wants to put his armor upon David. Look in verse 39. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these things, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know what we're to take away from that? If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to be who you are. It's great to have heroes and people we follow and pattern our lives after. All of us have done that. Many people, when I first got saved and as a young Christian and as a young preacher, one of the disciplines that I put in my life was I kept reading on autobiographies of great men and women of God. And God would take those autobiographies and He would stir my heart and encourage me. And I saw what they did and it wanted me to serve God. But I have to serve God Keith Allison way. Amen. I have to be who I am. I know when I first started preaching, Brother Ed, and I think every preacher goes through these phases, he hears this man over here and he says, wow, that's who I need to be like. And then he hears this man and he said, wow, that's who I need to be like. I used to hear men that they could open the Bible. Now, this is Southern style, I'm fixing to tell you. They'd open their Bible, they'd read a verse, they'd close the Bible, and they'd preach up a storm. I mean, just preach up a storm, you know. And have the Spirit of God on their life. And I said, as a young preacher, I said, that I'd like to have that. I want the touch of God. I want the Spirit of God on my life. And then I'd hear a man open the Bible. He may not get too emotional. He may not get too loud. He may not move around much. But boy, when he began to open that text and just to unfold the truth, I just sat there like honey running off of my chin. Oh, I love it. And so I'm thinking, why can't a man have both? Why can't a man study and have the message and have the Word of God in his heart, but yet have some fire about him and a little zeal about him? And so that was my heart's desire, was to have some zeal and also to have knowledge, amen, and to pull those together. But here's what I'm saying. You've got to accept who you are and be who you are. I'm not talking about not honing your skills and not improving yourselves and not trying to improve your delivery and your witness and all of that. We are. But I'm talking about you can't get out of the skin that God's put you in. Amen. And David said, I've got to go. I can't do that. So what did he do? He took his staff in his hand. These were the tools of a shepherd. He took the staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones, and he took that sling in verse number 40. I can just see David on a pretty hillside. The sheep are over there grazing, and he's sitting over there, and he's pulled him up a pile of stones, and he sits there with that sling, and he's looking maybe at a tree stump down there, or maybe a rock, and he'll put one in that And he'll get that thing to whirling, you know, and he'll turn it loose. And hour after hour, while those sheep are grazing, David's over there playing with that sling. And every now and then he'd drive a wolf away or a bear or whatever. So David, this was something, here's my point. Moses' rod was a tool of his occupation. Samson's jawbone was a weapon of circumstance. But David's sling was something that was common to him. Did you know that God very seldom is telling anybody to step outside of what we'd say is their comfort zone is? We're worried about what we can't do rather than what we can do. I can't sing. If you could put a tune in a bucket, I'd spill it. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. And I could spend a lot of time trying to hone and improve my singing ability. But a man helped me a long time ago. I was preaching a meeting in Pennsylvania, Bible conference type thing, and this fellow, he's a great man. He studied some psychology and he's written a book, but he's a good man of God. But he said, people's strengths and weaknesses vary. You may have strengths, you may have weaknesses, and everybody's strength and weaknesses vary depending on our personality. And a lot of times the gift that God gives us and the opportunity that God puts in our way for Him to use us, it has everything to do with our strength and our weaknesses. And he said a lot of people, instead of focusing on the strengths that they have, and instead of seeking how to funnel and use those strengths in their life, they get hung up on the weaknesses in their life. And again, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about areas that we feel incompetent to try to do anything with. In other words, like to try to learn music. Some people's got it and some don't. Our two daughters that we have, our oldest daughter, she took a few piano lessons, but she can, as Zoe said, beat the keys off the piano. And she can add some track and do everything else she needs to do to play that piano. Our youngest daughter took probably three times as many piano lessons as she did, and our youngest daughter's piano playing is... She didn't get it. You know why? Because it wasn't in here. It wasn't in here. And so much like, but here's what David is saying. This sling that David had, it was something that was common to him. And God was going to use this for His glory. And so when David went out there on the battlefield with that giant, can I help you right here? That giant, David knew all, you say David had a lot of courage. He did. But you got to understand something. David never had it in his mind that he was ever going to get close enough for that giant to kill him. David knew it doesn't matter how big the spear was, it doesn't matter how big the sword was, it doesn't matter how tall the giant was. David in his mind said, I'm not going to get close enough for him to get a hold of me. Because David knew what he was going to do. And as they got in that field, David took that sling and it's two pieces of leather with a little pouch in it, you know. And David put that stone in that sling and he swung that thing. And at the right moment, you turn loose of one piece of the leather and that thing opens up. And David had been doing that over and over and over and over. And he ran that stone right into the head of that giant. It was a tool of his trade. It was common to him. His faith, now listen, David's faith was in God and not necessarily even the sling that he had. Read the text. He said, God's going to deliver you unto me. Just like when he killed the bear and the lion. I've killed a bear, but it was at some distance with a 30-06, you know. Killed a couple of bears, you know. My wild hog and all that kind of stuff, but I sure didn't wrestle them down like David did. Amen. Oh my. But David, he knew that he had to be himself and his tool, that what was in his hand was something that was common to him. You search your heart. You look at your life. It may be the rod of your occupation. It may be you finding yourself in circumstance and you're using what you've got instead of what you wished you had. I've heard, I could hang up right there, but anyway, But David, this was common to him, something he could do. Something he could do. And I don't care, you may not teach and preach and sing, but you can do something. Amen. The preacher, the pastor doesn't need to be scrubbing toilets. I would do that and I'm not beneath that. But there's other people that can do that. Amen. And the body of Christ functions. My hands doesn't need to do the walking. My feet are designed for that. My eyes should not be concerned about hearing. That's what the ear's for. And if somebody, I'm going to get mean, if somebody is saved and they're not really participating and supporting their local church, you're just like an ear that is saying, well, I refuse to cooperate with the body. I want the blessings of the eye to see. I want the blessings of the hand to walk. I want the blessings of the mouth and the digestive system to eat and to drink and to keep me alive. But I don't want to be involved. How selfish can we be? What has God put in your hand? And again, the first thing that comes to our mind is all the things we can't do. Well, I can't sing in the choir. I can't. Again, you're focusing on your weaknesses instead of your strengths. What do you have in your hand that you know you can do? Offer that to God. Offer that to God. A tool of your occupation. Now, brother, don't go around shooting people just because you sell guns. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, and we'll pull this message to a close here in just a moment. To the book of Acts in chapter number 9. We're gonna use a lady as an illustration. I hope this is making sense to you today. God help us. In Acts chapter number 9 and verse 36, now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. That's what I call my wife sometimes, Dorcas. Not because she sews though. Anyway, this woman was full of good works and alms deed which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. And Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. I love this. Watch this now. They brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows, all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with him. Dorcas, what have you got in your hand? I've got a needle. A needle. She served God in serving these widows by making them coats and garments. And I'm going to tell you something. When we get to heaven, I'm going to look her up. And I'm going to say, thank you. Your ministry was such a blessing to me. And could we put it this way, ladies? It may not be a needle for you, but it may be a pot of beans and a cake of cornbread that you send down to somebody's house that's sick. It may be, men, it may be you going over to the neighbor's house that's sick and mowing the yard. I'm telling you, we want to confine our ministry and our service to God in the four walls of a local assembly. This is where we come to worship and to grow and to learn. But our service is rendered out there. Jesus, I love, in Acts chapter number 10, I preached a little message out of that on why Jesus did what he did. But Jesus, the Bible said he went about, listen now, doing good. And so you can serve God. What's in your hand? It may be as simple, listen now, it can be as simple as a needle. It was what she could do. She was not an apostle. She was not a disciple. She was not an evangelist. She was not a pastor, not a singer, not a teacher. She apparently did not have a lot of money to give away. But what could she do for Jesus? She ministered in the area of these widows. I know my wife thought I was crazy. I took out a dollar and stuck it in my Bible while I was sitting back there. And I took the lowest denomination that I had so y'all wouldn't think I had much, you know. Last thing an evangelist wants to do is to come to town and give the impression he's wealthy, you know. Matter of fact, this got to get me home, you know. 16 and a half hour drive, 3 meals and $150 worth of gas. That's got to do it. That's what you get if you watch TV. You know. Did you know giving is a gift? There's three passages of Scripture. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. And in those three passages of Scripture, you add all those gifts up. And in those gifts that are mentioned, there is the gift of giving. There is the gift of helps. There's a gift of government. That means of administration. There's some people that's just good bookkeepers. Preacher, I can do that for you. And some people have the gift of give. I told y'all that I'm on 16 radio stations in 13 different states. And it takes a lot of money to do that. And when I left the church and went into evangelism five and a half years ago, I was only on about 10 stations, and I wondered then if my support level would drop. The new pastor that came in does the missionary work a little different there, so my support in the radio did get cut down because they do it a little different now under his leadership, and I'm not fussing. That's just the way it is. So I wondered if I was going to be able to make it. Did you know that in the last 3 years, one man in the last 3 years has written me a check for $10,000 each for the last 3 years. He's put $30,000 himself into the radio ministry. So he's covering over probably close to half of my expense, just that one man. How can somebody take a check out and write $10,000? To Keith Allison Ministries, or my radio ministry is still under the umbrella of the church that I pastored. I think everything ought to be under the church. And it's the Fairfield Baptist Church radio ministry. That's the checking account. And the church, they get a copy. They can get a copy of the bank report just like I do. But how can a man take out and write a check for $10,000 and just give it away? You know why? Well, naturally, he's making money. But he's got it right in here that he can do that. And God has taught him that if he gives that away, that open hand principle that I taught my church as I pastored, and he was a member there, I taught them that open hand principle. If you have an open hand to give, then you have also an open hand to receive. But if you close that hand in giving, you've also closed it to receiving. And Dorcas, my, Peter raised her from the dead. The Lord raised her through Peter. I want to give you this list of observations and I'm done. When I looked at all these characters and what God says, number one, don't overlook the simple or the common things in your hand.
Yeah, right.
Don't overlook it. Don't discard it. God's chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Number two, God's able to use anything for His glory. A rod, a jawbone, a sling, or a needle. And God is looking for availability and not ability. Let me say that again. God's looking for availability. Are you available? And not ability. Don't focus on your weaknesses, but on your strengths. And God wants to use you with your abilities where you're at. In other words, stop waiting and start working. Stop waiting for things to get better, for things to improve, for this to stop waiting and start working. And then listen, don't compare yourself with others because we're all different. The eye has, the ear has no right to compare itself with the nose. I mean, because it's got a different function. God made it differently. So don't compare yourself with others. And then lastly, and I'm done, you, and I say you as every person in this building, if you are saved, you will be judged, either suffer loss of reward or will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ for your faithfulness to whatever He has put in your hand. You'll be judged for it, whether it's a rod, a jawbone, a needle, or a sling, whatever it is. And then, dear friend, I know I've not preached an evangelistic message today, but if you aren't saved, you know you're sitting there with empty hands, and you're going to have to say, God, I have nothing to offer you. But you could change that this morning. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
By giving your heart to Jesus. He loved you enough to die for you. And what a privilege it is. The second greatest thing outside of being saved by the grace of God is the privilege to serve Him. It's not just a responsibility. It is a privilege to serve God. Preacher, you come ahead and carry out the invitation.
Thank you for coming this morning. And I've enjoyed the preaching today, and I've enjoyed the preaching this week. And I've already told you yesterday and the day before, I believe, that this Jubilee has been a help to me. And I don't want to leave this week the same way I came into the week. And I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to be helped. And there's room for improvement in everyone's life. There's room for growth. And I want to grow as a Christian and as a pastor. And there's just some things I don't want to go back to, you know. I want to keep on growing. And so I praise the Lord for that. And I just think, you know, God's working through the chapel ministry and helping and trying to, you know, reach people there and in our church and in the Jubilee. There's just some things that God's dealing in my life about. And I want to be a Spirit-filled preacher and a Christian and led by the Lord. And I've been reading some biographies and that. And just if God can do it with others, God can do it here. And I just want God to show Himself to be strong in our church. And I want the generation behind us coming up to see that God is alive. God is loving. God is God provides. And boy, not to sound mean, but if you don't want that, then this probably ain't the place for you. I don't mean to sound that to be haughty or arrogant or mean at all. But boy, if you just want to sit back and point out people and criticize what they're doing and complain about what they're doing and not being involved, this probably ain't the place for you to sit. And there's other places you can do that are dead and not doing anything. It's full of critics and cynical and scorners. Just find that place. And I'm not trying to be, wouldn't want anybody to leave, but I don't want to be this a dead church. And I just appreciate folks coming. And we may not be as good, it may not be the same as anybody else, but I believe there's a group of people here doing the best they can with what they've got. And if that doesn't satisfy you, then go where it does. I can't compare ourselves to any other big church or any other preacher. I'm not those people, and we're not those people either. But I believe that we have a handful of folks at Old Paths Baptist Church that have, and mostly taken what that God's placed in their hands. Lord, I'm going to do my best for you in that matter. And so the worst thing that we could do as God's people is discourage somebody from what they're trying to do. Hey, that's what David's brother said. Who do you think you are? You little pipsqueak. You go back to your few sheep and you try to discourage them. And so I don't want to discourage anybody. Whatever they have in their hand, they're going to use it. Let's encourage them. And let's not be critical and scorners and just be helped that way. Thank you, Brother Allison, for that preaching. I'm done preaching. And so that's the bad thing about not preaching throughout the week and hear all this preaching. You get all the preach up and get built up in you. And I almost told Victor this morning, you're not going to preach this morning. I'm going to preach this morning. And but I didn't. And so I appreciate that. So anyway, thank you for coming. Come back tonight, please. And be here tonight for the evening service. And looking forward to another good message, a good challenge, and a meeting with God. Thank you this morning for being here. Father, today we come to you in closing. And Father, I always, Lord, I know we're busy with the schedule, but Lord, I don't want to put you on a timeline. And God, I always hate to say we're done for the morning. And Lord, it just seems, Lord, as folks begin to get in and kind of loosen up some and get tuned in, then we're done already. And Father, I think sometimes we're just in too big of a rush to get in, to get out. God, would you help us today? And Lord, I know you place in this place people here for a purpose and on purpose. And Lord, sometimes to look at us, one might think, well, they're not much. But Lord, we serve a great God. And we can sing that song with amazing grace, Lord, that little is much when God is in it. And God, thank you, Father, for what you provided in here at Old Pass. Thank you, Father, for the family that we have here this morning in our church, Father. Bless us. Help us, I pray. Give us wisdom. Help us be humble, Father, and yield it to you and use what you place in our hands. This we ask today in your name and pray. Amen.